Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Kuf Chaf. We are at the towards the top of Kuf Chaf Amin Aleph at the Mishnah. Matzilin Sal Maleki Karot Afal Bishyeshbo Me'as Seudot. Right, you can save a basket that has that's filled with loaves, even if it has enough for 100 meals. V'igol Shel Devela, right, or a full fig cake, even though it's massive. V'chavit Shel Yain and a full barrel of wine. V'omer Le'achirim Bo V'tzil Lechem. You can also tell other people, hey, there are things in my house. Go save them. For yourselves. Now, if they were wise, if they know what they're doing, they would make a cheshbon with him after Shabbat. Money in exchange for their labor, for their help. Where do they save them? To a chatzer with an eruv. Ben Betero Omer Af L'Sheinu Erevet. Even a chatzer, an adjacent courtyard without an eruv. V'Lashav Motzi Kol Klei Teshmisho. That's where you would take all of your any utensils that were needed that you can let, or that you're allowed to remove. You could take two. V'Lovesh Kol Mashiachol Lilvosh. And you can wear, by the way, anything that you can put on. V'Otev Kol Mashiachol Latov. Right, and you can wear anything you can wear. You can put on top of you anything you can put on top of you. You can like wrap yourself in anything you can wrap yourself in. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yurchet Kelim, right? Rabbi Yossi says, no, there are actually 18 things you're allowed to put on, but not just any clothing. There are 18 types of garments that you're allowed to put on. The Choser Velove Shemotzi, right? And then you can go back and back into the home and put things on and take them out. But you can't just put on all of your clothes at once. V'omer L'Acherim Bo V'Tzilu Imi, right? And you can say to other people, come save clothing with me. But didn't we teach in the Reisha that you can only save 3 meals? Now we're saying you can save enough bread for 100 meals. Right, it's different. Here you're saving, you're going in and saving one thing. There you're gathering, right? So if it's about forming meals and you have to gather different meals up, then you can only put together enough for 3 meals, right? But if you're just saving a basket, well, yeah, whatever's in the basket, you're allowed to take out, right? You're not collecting different things in different places. Just whatever is in the basket, you're allowed to take out, right? Because it's one motion, it's one action, it's one thing that you're doing. So there's enough in the basket for 100 meals, but you're only taking out one basket. Right. So if you're coming just to take something out, then you can take out whatever you're taking out, and however much is inside it, you're fine. But if you're coming to collect meals, right, then you can only collect which is multiple different actions, then you can only collect enough for 3. Rabbi Abba bar Zavda Amar Rav Idi Amar Rav, right? Idi v'idi balakapel. Really, we can say that both of these are talking about coming and gathering, collecting different meals. V'lokasha kan lo tochatzer chan lechatzer acheret, right? And when can you take out 100 meals if it's to that courtyard? And when can you take out only 3 meals if it's to a different courtyard? Ba Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua pireish talita v'kipel v'niach v'kipel v'niach. My right. So, what if you put out a talit, right? And then you go around gathering meals, and you just put it all on the talit, and then you want to take out a talit with multiple meals. What is that similar to? Is that like taking out a basket with multiple pieces of bread, or is that like gathering up meals which you can only do for 3? Right. So instead of just having one basket that's full of bread, you basically grab a very large receptacle and then fill it up inside and then take it out. Are you allowed to do that? Is that like taking out one basket, or is that like taking out multiple things? Kibala hatil dami or kibala kapel dami? Is that like saving one thing, or is that like saving multiple things? Mida ama rava atia rav shizvi la rav. Well, okay, rav chizda. Well, from the fact that Rava said that rav shizvi made a mistake or misled rav chizda when he taught the following drasha, v'darash b'vad shelo yavi kli shehu machzik yoter megibal seudot, when he told him that you are not allowed to bring a receptacle that holds more than 3 meals, right, and that apparently is wrong, that you'd be allowed to bring a receptacle that holds more than 3 meals, shema mina kebala atzil dami, right, that would imply that we see filling up a receptacle that holds more than 3 meals as permitted. Right, so why would it be permitted? Because it must be bebala hatzil, right? It must be that that we treat that as like saving something and not gathering up different meals. If you're allowed to bring in a receptacle that holds more than 3 meals and fill it up, then that must be mutter. In which case, it's similar to bala hatzil, not bala kapel. V'shapir dami. Amalei Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, LeRava, my Teuta. Okay, that, so he misled him. Sort of, Shizbi was wrong. What's the mistake there? Why is that necessarily wrong? How do we know that? Amalei Dekatani Bilvad Shaliyavi Kli Acher VeYiklo Kli Acher VeYitzarev Kli Acher Hu Delo Aval Bahu Mana Kama Dabai Matzil. Right. So the because we taught in the Mishnah that what you're not allowed to do when your barrel breaks on your roof is bring a different kli and put it up next to the roof, or bring a different kli and put it on the ground and catch it from the airspace. Okay, so what is the Mishnah indicating that you're not allowed to do? You're not allowed to bring a different kli. But what if it's the same kli? Well, if it's the same kli, then save as much as you want to save. It's the same kli. V'igol shal tvela, right? A massive fig cake. Cheshbon maya vidate mehefkera kazachu. What kind of cheshbon are they making with him? They're paying him, what cheshbon are we talking about? They just, they came and took what was hefker. It's theirs. They took what's hefker. It belonged to no one. He made it hefker, and they came and took it. What's the cheshbon? What's the finances that you have to sort out afterward? Amar Rav Chisda, midat chasidut shanu kan. Right. So he said, no, we're teaching a midat chasidut. Sure, they could have taken it, but they didn't want to take it. They're being nice. Amar Rava, chasidei igo deshab teshakli. Oh, they're such chasidim. They're such wonderful, excellent, upstanding Jews. They're taking schar for something they did on Shabbat. They're basically helping him on Shabbat and taking money for it. Are you allowed to get paid for something you do on Shabbat? They were calling these people chasidim. Amar Rava. Hacha biyirei shemayim askinan. So we're talking about yirei shemayim. Velo nichalei dilitani me'acherim. And so it's not, they don't like taking things from people for free. Meaning, sure, it's hefker, and so they know they're allowed to keep it, but they don't want to keep it. They don't feel comfortable keeping that. Ubechinam nami lo nichalei dilitrach. Right? But still, they're not going to, but still they don't want to, to become a free labor. They don't want to work for a guy for free. And this is what we meant. If they're pikachin, if they're wise, if they're knowledgeable, then they realize that this is not considered being a paid worker on Shabbat, the nature of the arrangement, in which case they can do a cheshbon after Shabbat and ask to be paid. V'lehichan matzilin. Okay, so where do you save them to? If you notice in the ratio of the Mishnah, when we're talking about saving food, it says, go save for yourself. And in the Seifa, it says, go save with me. What's the difference? Right? Because by meals, by food, it taught three meals. It said lachem, because he's only allowed to save for himself three meals. So any food that they save beyond that really needs to be intended for them in order for them to take it out. Right? Because it's a din in him. He can't save more than three meals for himself. And also, they can't save more than three meals for himself. They can save three meals for themselves, though. But if he wanted to, he can keep running in and out and in and out and keep wearing more clothing. There's no limit to the amount of clothing that you're allowed to save. There's just a limit to the amount of clothing that you're allowed to wear out at one time, or either a halachic limit or just a physical limitation, right? But in theory, there's nothing limiting you from taking out more clothing, right? So he's not limited in theory in how much clothing he could save. They're just helping him by doing it faster. But he is limited in the amount of food that he's allowed to save regardless of the time. So they would have to be saving for them in order to take the food out, but they're saving for him if they take the clothing out because he's not limited in the amount of clothing that he could wear. Tan Rabbanan, Lovesh Motziu Poshet V'chozer Lovesh Motziu Poshet V'afilu Kol Yom Kulo. Right? So we taught, the rabbis taught that you're allowed to wear clothes, go outside, take them off, work, and then go back inside, do the same thing all day long. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shmonasar Kelim Ve'elohem. Right? So Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not, you can't do that. There's really just, there are 18 different garments that you're allowed to wear. These are those 18 garments. Miktoren Unkli Upanda. So a cloak, and then an outer coat, and an outer belt. Kalbus shel pishtan ve chaluk, a linen garment or a tunic, the apiliot, a robe, u me a poret, a kerchief, as a head covering, vishnei sfarkin, two leg bands, vishnei min alim, two shoes, vishnei an pilaot, so two socks, vishnei pargod, two gaiters, v'chagor b'motnav, and a belt around his loins, v'kova shabarosho, the hat on his head, v'sudar shabitzabarav, and a scarf around his neck. Those are the 18 things that he will be allowed to say. Okay, new Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas Omer Porsin Or Shel Gedi Agabe Shida Tevo Migdal Shechaz Ben Ataor Mipnei Shehu Mecharech. You can put a goat skin over a chest, a closet, or a chest, a closet, or a box that caught fire, because the skin will singe the fire and it's not going to spread. The osin mechitza bekol hakelim ben milayim ben rekonim bishvil shelo ta'avor hadaleika. And you can make a mechitza, a partition in front of a fire with vessels, whether they're empty or full, so that the fire doesn't pass. Rabbi Yossi Oser Bekli Cheres Chadashim Lein Mayim Lefisha Ein Yochon Nekabel Ta'or Vehenit Pa'akin Mechabin Et Adleika. Rabbi Yossi says you can't do that with new earthenware vessels that are filled with water, because they can't hold back the fire. They're gonna, the kalim can't hold, stand the fire. They're gonna break, and then the water is gonna put out the fire. So that you can't do that. Okay, Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Talit She'achaz. Talit she'achaz ba'ha'ur, so a talit that caught fire, mitzad echad. On one side, not nilalea mayim mitzad acher vim kavta kavta. So you put water on the other side of it, and listen, if it comes to go out, because the water starts spreading and it puts out the fire, okay, so put it out. You didn't put it out, you just wet the other side of the talit. Meitive, we're going to challenge that. Talit she'achaz ba'ha'ur mitzad echad, poshta mitkase ba'ha'ur vim kavta kavta. Right, so we said by a garment that if it catches fire, so you can spread it out in order to put it on, and if while you're doing that it goes out, okay, then it goes out. And similarly, a Sefer Torah that caught fire, you can open it up to read it, and if it goes out, then it goes out. But you can't put water on it. That's way too direct, right? So that's clearly a challenge. Where do you get it from? You're allowed to put water on the garment. Who the Amark Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas, right? Yeah, he's saying his shita. Rabbi Yehuda saying his shita like Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas, right? Who allowed you to put the goat skin on the chest that caught fire, which is a much more direct way of putting it out. Himar da Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas b'pnei shehu mecharech. Right, but the only reason that Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas allowed you to do that is because it what the goat skin does, it prevents the fire from spreading, but it doesn't actually put the fire out. Here you're putting water on it, that's much more direct. Did Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas permit you to put the fire out? Gerim kiboy mi amar, right? Did he allow you to actually indirectly extinguish the flame? Yeah, he would. Midektani seifa Rabbi Yossi oser bekli cheres chadashim malein mayin she'en anichon lekabal ta'or vehen mitpa'akin mechabin tadleika. From the fact that the seifa says that Rabbi Yossi says it's usher to put kli cheres filled with water because that's going to indirectly put out the fire, miklal tanakama shari. But that would imply that the Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas, would say that it is allowed to do so, that you're allowed to put the kalim there filled with water. So clearly, Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas holds that you are allowed to indirectly put out the flame through water. Right? A candle that's on a board, you're allowed to knock off, you're allowed to knock the candle off the board, and if it goes out, it goes out. By the way, that we're only talking about if you forgot a candle on a board, but if you put it there intentionally, then the board becomes usher because it's as a function of the candle, which is mukta. Right? So even once the candle falls off, the board is still mukta because it served as the platform upon which the candle was put. Tana, we taught ner she'achorei hadelet poteach v'noel kedarko v'im kapta kapta. Right? If there's a candle behind the door, you can open and close the door as usual. And if it goes out, so it goes out. Laitale Rav. So Rav cursed that shita. Amarle Ravina la Rav Acha bere derava va Amri la Rav Acha bere derava la Rav Ashi. So ask the following question. My time a laitale la Rav. Why would Rav curse someone who holds that shita? Ilei mishum desavar la Rav Yehuda. If you want to say, because Rav holds like Rav Yehuda, who says the derav shenim mitkaven is aser. So even though you didn't intend to put the candle out, and your intention was just to open the door, still it's davar shen mitkaven, it's something you didn't intend to do, but it's still usher because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, right? Okay, so now I understand why he has a problem with it. V'tana tani like Rabbi Shimon, and then the Tana who says that you're allowed to open and close the door holds like Rabbi Shimon, who says that davar shen mitkaven will be mutter. Mishum de Rav savar like Rabbi Yehuda, kol tani like Rabbi Shimon milat light. Just because Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, so he's going to curse anyone who holds like Rabbi Shimon? What, he doesn't think Rabbi Shimon's a legitimate shita? No, you're allowed to hold what you hold, and they hold what they hold. Like, what's the he's going to curse anyone who doesn't hold like his shita? Even though they're following legitimate shita, it doesn't make any sense. Amar le beha filo Rabbi Shimon mode. No, because this, even Rabbi Shimon would agree. No one would hold that that's mutter. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda would both agree that this is a problem. Because Rava and Abaye both agree that when it comes to something that'll definitely happen, you didn't intend it to happen, but you know with 100% certainty that it will happen, that's going to be Asr. Even Rabbi Shimon holds that it's Asr. So everyone holds this as Asr. And that's why Rav took such great issue with it. Amar Rav Yehuda, Potech Adam Delet Keneged Medura B'Shabbat. Right? So you're allowed to open up a door in front of a bonfire on Shabbat, and the concern here is that the wind that comes in would kindle the fire, right? Would like kind of stoke the fire. That's what we're concerned with. Laitala Abaye, and Abaye cursed that shita. B'mai askinan, right? But what are we dealing with here? Ilam bruach matsuya, my time of demanda asir. So if you're talking about with normal wind is not going to bring embers into a full blown fire, right? So why does someone hold that it's aser? Ibruach she'ena mitzuya, my time of demand deshare. But if we're dealing with an abnormal wind that's not generally found that will do that to the fire, then how can someone allow it? Le'olam baruch mitzuya, mar sever gazuna, mar sever lo gazuna. No, we're talking about a normal wind, and a normal wind will not generally do that. But there's a machloket as to whether we make a gzera on a normal wind that won't do it, lest you come to you to do the same thing of opening the door when there's an abnormal wind. And the machlok it is whether we make that gzera. But can we learn from there that from the fact that the Rabbanan hold that you're allowed to make this mechitza even though it may come to put out the water, and then Rabbi Yossi holds you're not allowed to make the mechitza that comes to put out the water, that Rabbi Yossi says you are not allowed to indirectly cause an extinguishing of the flame, where the Rabbanan say you are allowed to indirectly cause an extinguishing of the flame. Right, but didn't we hear the exact opposite, that Rabbi Yossi was more makil in the indirect extinction of a flame than were the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan were machmir in how we indirectly extinguish him. A flame. Detanya, we learned the Brayta. Osim mechitza bekelim rikonin melein she ein darkan l'shtaber. You can make a partition in front of a fire with kelim rikonim, empty vessels, or with full filled up vessels that are not going to break when the fire touches them. And what are those vessels that are not going to break? Those are metal vessels. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af Kli Kfar Shichin V'Kli Kfar Chananya Ein Darkan L'Shtaber. And Rabbi Yossi permits it also with Kli Kfar Shichin, the vessels of Kfar Shichin, and the vessels of Kfar Chananya, they also will not break. And so there we see that Rabbi Yossi is more permissive. Right, that seemingly the Rabbanan say that you can use filled up vessels that aren't going to break, and Rabbi Yossi says you can use even more vessels that aren't going to break. So when did Rabbi Yossi become more permissive in something that may come to extinguish the fire than were the Rabbanan? Our mission indicates the opposite. And if you want to say, yeah, flip around the sheet is in the Mishnah. Really, it's Rabbi Yossi says that you're allowed, and the Rabbanan say that it's not allowed. Rabbi Yossi, the Batraitel, the Vrehem Kamar. And then, okay, well, you still have an issue because Rabbi Yossi clearly prohibits many different vessels from being used as a partition, just because he's more permissive in the Braita by saying that Kli Kfar Shichin and Kli Kfar Chananya are allowed. But he's more permissive, but he still says that some things are usher. But if you wanted to flip the shitas around, where now Rabbi Yossi is saying that it's mutter and the Rabbanan are saying that it's usher, then how is it then in our Braita Rabbi Yossi still holds that some are usher? He agrees that more of them are mutter, but why would he, that doesn't help his shita, right? Because it doesn't resolve the contradiction in his shita to say that, no, he holds that you're allowed to do this. Well, then why in the Braita does he hold that you can't do it for most kalim, you can just do it for Kli Kvar Shichin and Kli Kvar Chananya, right? So what do you say about the Braita? That he was saying the Braita in accordance with the Rabbanan. Meaning, yes, Rabbi Yossi holds that they're all mutter, but the Rabbanan who hold that it would be mutter only if the Kli wouldn't break, Rabbi Yossi says that, the Rabbanan would also hold Kli Kvar, according to the Rabbanan's own Svara, Rabbi Yossi was saying, Kli Kvar Shichin and Kli Kvar Chananya would be okay. Right, so Rabbi Yossi wasn't arguing with the Rabbanan in theory. You can flip around the Mishnah, the sheet in the Mishnah, and say that Rabbi Yossi permits all kalim. The Rabbanan prohibit all kalim, and then when the Rabbanan prohibited it in the Braita, and Rabbi Yossi was more permissive but still prohibited some things, just say that he wasn't holding his shita. He was just expressing according to the Rabbanan, this would also be mutter. But according to me, I hold that it's all mutter. No, you can't say that. That may have sounded like a good svara to say that reconciling Salazar Rabbanan, Rabbi Yossi Shita, but you can't say that, right? Umi Matzit Ipcha Lot, right? Because how could you flip around the sheet that's in the Mishnah? The Amar Rabba Bar Tachlifa Mishmeda Rav Mantana Gerim Kiboy Aser Rabbi Yossi. Because didn't we learn explicitly the one who says that indirectly causing the extinguishing of the flame is going to be Aser, that we learn explicitly that's Rabbi Yossi Shita? If we know it's Rabbi Yossi Shita, then you can't suggest that our Mishnah was wrong in suggesting that that's the Rabbanan, suggesting that's really the Rabbanan Shita, right? Our Mishnah was correct. It is Rabbi Yossi Shita, right? In which case, you can't flip it around. Elohim lo tepech, right? So you cannot switch around the Shitas in the Mishnah. Ubraita kula Rabbi Yossi, and actually the entire Braita is not a machloket Yossi Rabbanan, right? You assume the Tanakama was Rabbi Yossi. Actually, the entire thing is taught in accordance with Rabbi Yossi. The entire thing is Rabbi Yossi's Shita, and this is how it should have been read. Chasuri mechzer avahachi katani. Osin mechitza bekelim rekanan melein she'en darkan lishtaber, right? You can make a mechitza out of empty kalim or a full kalim that are not normally going to break. The eluhen keren kalim she'en darkan lishtaber. These are the vessels that don't normally break. Klima tachot, right? Ukli kvar shichin, ukli kvar chananya, nami in der karn lishtaber, right? Those are metal vessels. And by the way, vessels from kvar shichin and vessels from kvar chananya are also not vessels that will break. Sherbi Yossi omer af kli kvar shichin v'kli kvar chananya in der karn lishtaber, right? Because as we know, Rabbi Yossi holds that these kalim are not normally going to be broken. In which case, if you just explain it, the entire Braita reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. And there's no machloket in the Braita as to whether Kli Kvar Shichin and Kli Kvar Chananya are darkan lishtaber, are allowed to be used as a mechitza because they're going to come to break. Rather, it's just that the opinion of the Braita is anything that will not break is going to be allowed to be used, and the Braita incorporates Rabbi Yossi's statement about Kli Kvar Shichin and Kli Kvar Chananya to indicate that those will also be allowed because they will not break. And the reason that Rabbi Yossi is only interjected at the end is not to say that he's bringing in a different Shita, rather his statement, we're just bringing in his statement about these Kalim, which is very relevant here towards the end, but that's not to suggest that the Tanakama was reflecting a different Shita than was Rabbi Yossi. V'rami de Rabbanan ad Rabbanan, v'rami de Yossi ad Rabbi Yossi. But one second, I can suggest another contradiction between the Rabbanan and their own Shita and Rabbi Yossi in his own Shita. From the following Braita. Netanya, Haresh Haya Shem Kotev Lo Al Psaro, Haresh Zed Lo Yerchatz Velo Yisoch Velo Yamad B'makom HaTinofet. Right? If someone had Shem Hashem written on his skin, then he's not allowed to wash himself, and he's not allowed to anoint himself with oil, and he's not allowed to stand in a dirty place. You can't wash or anoint yourself because that you might erase Shem Hashem. You're not allowed to erase Shem Hashem, right? And you can't stand in a dirty place because you shouldn't have Shem Hashem in a dirty place. Nizdamena Lo Tevila Shel Mitzvah. But what if you have a Tevila Shel Mitzvah? You have an obligation to go use the mikvah, right? What do you do there? Korech alei gemi v'yored v'tovel. Right, then you should put a reed around your arm and then go to the mikvah. Rabbi Yossi omer le'olam yored v'tovel kedarko b'vad shlo yishav shev. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can always go to do tevilah in the normal fashion without even using a reed, as long as you don't rub it off when you're in there. You can't rub at it to hope that it gets off, right? In which case, Rabbi Yossi seems to be much more permissive when it comes to indirectly causing something that would be usher if you did it directly. Whereas the Rabbanan are like, no, you can't indirectly cause it. So that it seems to contradict their shitas that we just learned about who's more machmir about indirect things. Shani hatam da'amar karav avadatem et shemam min hamakom hahu. That's different because it's a specific pasuk that says you erase the name from that place. Lo ta'asun kein la Hashem Elokeichem. Right, you're not allowed to do this to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Asiya hu da'aser gram ashari. So from the pasuk, the fact that the pasuk explicitly uses the word asiya, you did, right? You're not allowed to do that thing. So doing it is the problem, but indirectly causing it, you can learn from the fact that the pasuk highlights the word did asiya. Indirectly causing it would be allowed. That's Rabbi Yossi Shita, and that's why Rabbi Yossi holds explicitly here we're more lenient when it comes to indirect causes. Yahachi. But doesn't it also say lo ta'ase kol malacha, that malacha is also a matter of asiya, is about doing, in which case say that Rabbi Yossi would hold that asiya is the problem, doing the malacha is the problem, but causing it would be allowed. So the svara to say that Rabbi Yossi is makil by erasing God's name is the same exact svara by doing malacha. So that's not a good proof. Adam bahul al mamono isharit le ati dechavuye. Rather, he holds like this, that because the person is so preoccupied with saving his money, if he was allowed to do some things, he would come to do much more. Right? He would say, "Oh, I'm allowed to put a kalem here filled with water, great. Oh no, that didn't work. What do I do now? Or he's going to come to extinguish it. Right? Rather, if you just prohibited everything, he's not going to come to extinguish the flame. Right? And because he's so preoccupied with saving his money, he's not going to be thinking straight. That's Rabbi Yossi's concern. Yahachi, kasha derabanan, another rabbanan. Wait a second. But then you still have a big problem in the rabbanan shita, right? Uma hatam de adam behulam amono shari hachalo kol shaken. Right? Because if the rabbanan allowed you to make a machitza with water, right, in order to indirectly extinguish the flame, in a case where he's bahul amamono, where he's very preoccupied with his money, and being very preoccupied with the money is a svara to be more mahmir, right? Because you have to prohibit him lest he come to extinguish the flame, right? So if that's a svara to be more mahmir, and the rabbanan were mekil, even when he's bahul al-mamono, right? Then in the case of erasing God's name, which he has no reason to be bahul, he has no reason to be overly preoccupied with this, then they make it aser? All the more so they should make it mutter. If by saving his money it's mutter, all the more so the rabbanan should make it mutter, right? So that doesn't make any sense. That's a difficulty in the rabbanan shita, v'tiz bra. But the assumption that you're making is that really a logical assumption? Hi, gemi hechidami, right? Because what kind of reader are the rabbanan talking about here? Id mihadek kahavu chatzita id lo mihadek ale be maya, right? So because if you think that you're actually wrapping around this reed tightly, then that's a chatzitza, right? That interrupts between the water and the skin. It's not going to be a proper tevila, right? So the rabbanan are clearly not talking about too tight of a reed. Rather, they're talking about a reed that's loose enough that it doesn't constitute as a chatzitza, in which case the water is going to get underneath there and erase it. In which case, the rabbanan don't seem to actually be concerned that the thing become erased. So the rabbanan don't make it aser. The rabbanan don't say it's aser to indirectly erase this thing, right? That's the assumption that we're working with right now. Is that it, because the rabbanan must be talking about a reed that's loosely fitting? Then they must be talking about a reed that's loosely fitting, so that it's not going to come to be. It will come to be erased. So clearly, they don't have a problem with it. In which case, you can't make that kal v'chomer. You can't say, well, all the more so they would say it's mutter here. They do say it's mutter here. It's fine for them. Chatzita tepukle mishum dio. Chatzita tepukle mishum dio. Right. One second. But we're talking about chatzitzas here. Now we're concerned about being a chatzitza. Well, then I'll tell you that if the rabbanon were so concerned that the reed would be a chatzitza, then they should also be concerned that the ink is a chatzitza, because the ink is going to separate between you and the mikvah waters. Right. In which case, you have a chatzitza anyway. Right. So it doesn't make sense to say that the rabbanon clearly weren't talking about a tight reed that was fastened tightly to the arm, because then it's going to be a chatzitza. The ink itself is a chatzitza. Clearly, we're not talking about chatzitzas here, right? Belacha. No, because we're talking about wet ink. Wet ink isn't a chatzitza, right? In which case, the ink isn't a chatzitza. Etania hadam v'hadio v'advash v'achalav, right? Blood and ink and honey and milk. Yevashin chotzitzin lachim en chotzitzin. If they're dry, they're an interruption. If they're wet, they're not an interruption, right? So now just to kind of to clarify where we're holding, so the ink is not a chatzitza, in which case it makes sense to suggest, because the ink is not a chatzitza, that we would be concerned with a theoretical chatzitza, right? So the rabbanan tell you to put the reed on, they don't believe it's going to be a chatzitza, right? It must be loose enough that lets water under, in which case it's going to erase the name indirectly, and the rabbanan clearly don't hold that it's a problem to erase the name indirectly, in which case there's no contradiction in their theory, in their shita when it comes to indirectly doing things. They call makom kasha. Oh, he's still difficult. Right? Why? Because then what's the point of the reed? Right? If the reed isn't protecting Shem Hashem, why are they asking you to put it on here? Elam Rav Bar of Shila, Haynu Taimayu De Rabbanan De Kasavri Asur La'amod B'fnei Hashem Arum. Right? Because the reason they ask you to put the reed on is not because it's going to save Shem Hashem from being erased. It's because you can't be naked in front of God's name. Right? Because Rabbi Yossi Sarav Mutar La'amod B'fnei Hashem Arum. Right? So are you suggesting that Rabbi Yossi holds that you're allowed to be in front of Hashem's name naked? The Rabbanan has you put a reed on, but Rabbi Yossi doesn't, because the rabbanan hold that it's usher to be in front of Hashem's name naked. Well, Rabbi Yossi also holds that. So how is that the svara? Demanachia yade luve. Okay, because Rabbi Yossi says no. You put your hand over it, right? The rabbanan nami demanachia yade luve. Okay, so the rabbanan can also say you can put your hand over it. Zimnin demishdale v'shakile. No, sometimes it becomes removed. Like sometimes the hand slips out of place and it's going to be a problem. Rabbi Yossi nami zimnin demishdale v'shakile. Well, then wouldn't Rabbi Yossi also hold that sometimes the hand is going to come out of place and it's going to be a problem? You're going to be naked in front of God's name? Ella. Ide ika gemi hachana ela ide ika gemi hachanami hachav mayaskinan lahadure agemi. Right. So rather, you're gonna have the same problem when it comes to the reed. So what are we actually dealing with here? what are we actually dealing with here? The question is whether, or, so okay, so Rabbi Yossi also holds, by the way, so okay, the Rabbi Yossi, yes, the Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan would both hold all of these things, right, that you can cover up with your hand, but sometimes the hand is going to be removed, and so we have a concern. Rabbi Yossi has that concern too, in which case Rabbi Yossi actually also wants you to use a reed. We didn't say that in the Braita, but Rabbi Yossi's shita is you should also use a reed. Okay, then what's their machloket? I thought they had a disagreement about the reed. Yeah, here's the machloket, whether you have to go looking for a reed, right? So the machloket is, Tvila b'zmana lav mitzvah u'mahadrinan. Rabbi Yossi said, "Tvila b'zmana mitzvah v'lo mahadrinan." Right, because of the importance of doing the going to the mikvah in the exact appropriate time, the moment that you can, we're not going to go have you go looking for a reed and put off going to the mikvah as soon as possible. But Rabbi Yossi holds that it's not a mitzvah to go to the mikvah as soon as possible. Rabbi Yossi holds that going to the mikvah as soon as possible is the mitzvah. So we're not going to have you go around looking for a reed. The Rabbanan holds, it's not a mitzvah, so go around looking for the reed to cover it up. That's the machloket. That's why Rabbi Yossi says, if you don't have a reed right there, then you don't go looking for it. But they both hold that if you do have a reed right there and it's not going to delay you, then you don't have, then you do. They both hold that you do have a reed right there, then you should put it on. The Sava Rabbi Yossi, Tzvila B'zmana mitzvah, but does Rabbi Yossi really hold that going to the mikvah the exact right time is a mitzvah? Vatanya, Hazava, Sava Mitzvah, Mitzvah, Boel, Nida, Vitame, Me, Tavu, Tvilatan b'yom, right? So those people who are tameh, then they have to go to the mikveh during the day. Nida b'yilat tvilatan b'layla, and a woman who gave birth and a nida have to go to the mikveh at night. Balkeri tovel v'holech kol yom, and a balkeri can go to the mikveh at any point. Kulo. Rabbi Yossi omer mina mincha l'mala inu tzarech litvol. Rabbi Yossi holds that if he saw a seminal mission from mincha and onward, he doesn't have to go to the mikveh. Why? Because you have no other things you have to do during that day that require a mikvah. When do you have to go to the mikvah? Okay, you can't daven if you haven't gone to the mikvah. When do you have to go to the mikvah? Okay, you can't eat truma before you go to the mikvah. But if either way you finished all your davenings for today, Marav's already the next day, right, and you don't have to eat truma, in which case, then you have no reason to go to the mikvah right now just because it's the first possible time. It doesn't matter. Go to the mikvah when you get around to it. Definitely have to go before Marav, but you don't have to go during the day. So clearly, Rabbi Yossi is not obsessed with, or is not, you know, it does not hold that you have to go to the mikvah as soon as possible. Hey, Rabbi Yossi bar Yehudahi. Right? No, that's not Rabbi Yossi, our Rabbi Yossi. That's Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. Different Rabbi Yossi, right? Easy to confuse, but it's a different Rabbi Yossi. Damar Ndaya Tvila Beachrona, right, who holds that that woman can go to the mikvah for any reason at the latest possible time. At the time of the last, I mean, if she's waiting for multiple reasons, she can wait until she's done waiting for all of them and then go at once. You don't have to go right away. Because that's Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda's shita, clearly he's not hold by that you need to go as soon as possible, in which case the Rabbi Yossi, who's quoted as saying that you don't have to, that you can wait till the end of the day to go, and if you already davened mincha, then you don't have to go immediately. That's Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, not our Rabbi Yossi, in which case our Rabbi Yossi does hold tefila b'zmana mitzvah, and that's why he would not go sending you around looking for a reed. But if it was right there, he would agree you have to put it on, but if it's not right there, then he would say that you should just go ahead and get in the water to do tefillah b'zmanah.